Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. Leanna, the capital gains tax and all the drama and issues have come into it. Many people are thinking that this capital gains tax changes is only going to impact the rich. Well, maybe not. And so we've got with us Dr. Jack Mintz, senior fellow of the C.D. Howe Institute. Dr. Mintz, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go right into it. People are saying it's only going to impact the rich. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's incorrect because there's a lot of people who are middle income, and they may have an asset like a cottage, or they may be, have had a small business for many years and retire and are cashing out, or they could be people that pass away and they leave an estate, and they could easily have more than $250,000 in capital gains. For example, if you bought a cottage in 1980 and you sell it in 2024, there's a good chance you'll have more than $250,000 in capital gains. And it's only one time or only a couple of times in your whole life that you ever sell something with large capital gains. And in fact, when we looked at the numbers, we found that, the people that did actually have capital gains, it was more than $250,000 as in the proposed change. The median income was only $110,000 for the household. And in fact, there were a lot of people even less than that. When we say median, that's the 50 percentile. So that means there's a lot of people even below $110,000. In other words, normally they're not rich. They just happen to have in one year a very big amount of money that came in. And that's a problem with a lot of analysis that people do. They tend to focus on one-year snapshots, and they say, "Oh, look, you have a lot of people that are in the who are rich, getting capital gains." But it just happens that they had a bundled amount of money in that 1 year, and that if you average it over their lifetimes, they don't. So when I did the analysis, I found that actually, over a million Canadians will be hit by this change in the capital gains tax.
Jack, when people say the definition of rich, some people look at income and how much income you're making on a regular basis. Others are saying, what's your asset base or how much are your actual net worth is? And when someone sells a property, a cottage at $1 million, and they have a huge capital gain because they bought this cottage back in the 1980s, they're still a millionaire. They sold it or they passed away and it was deemed disposed of. They're still rich in a lot of Canadians' viewpoint. What I think a lot of people are missing out on is the reason of these capital gain tax changes have impact in the how capital comes into this country, how it impacts businesses. What are your views when it comes to how it impacts more than just the people who have to sell their cottage because they got rid of it or because they passed away?
Well, that's actually a very important point. And so I think the key thing to remember is that not only was the capital gains tax increase for individuals and as I mentioned, it was on their capital gains more than $250,000 that they would have a higher capital gains tax rate, but it also increased the corporate capital gains tax rate, and there is no exemption. And so you're actually increasing the amount of tax on business investment as a result. And in fact, in our calculations, we show that actually there's a pretty significant increase in the effective tax rate on new investment because of the capital gains tax rate increase. And so therefore, you're going to be discouraging investment coming into the country. You're going to be discouraging investment as well. And so even though there's maybe some tax policy reasons, and I can go into that detail, but there's some reasons to try to even out the difference between capital gains and dividend taxes, because dividend taxes are much more now than the capital gains tax rate. Even though there's a good argument there, we have to remember we're at a time in history where we've had falling per capita incomes, per capita GDP, per capita household income has been declining recently once you adjust for inflation. And this is really probably, and we've had very poor investment climate as well. So this is probably the worst time to bring in a capital gains tax increase. And in fact, what I estimated that the impact is going to, eventually over about 5 years, will reduce capital investment by about $120 billion. And that could lead to a loss of 400,000 jobs. And so the impact is actually much bigger from an economic point of view in that sense, in that it's going to really hurt the economy at a time when this is not the time to start raising taxes.
Wow, that's a lot of jobs and a lot of lost investment for Canadians overall. I would say that the common argument back to that very often is that, well, we should be redistributing wealth and kind of trying to balance out inequality amongst Canadians. What would be your response to that argument when you hear it?
Well, it's the inequality issue is a little bit more complicated than one thinks. First of all, if you look at the typical economic measure of inequality, which is called the Gini coefficient, it's been declining actually since 2000 in Canada. In fact, it's been declining in a lot of countries, particularly. And so actually, inequality has been falling. However, as many people pointed out, the middle class has been kind of getting squeezed in the sense that the higher income people are making more money but the very lowest income group has also been, incomes have been rising. And so the inequality measure has been falling, partly because of all the terrific programs that we have brought in as a country that has supported low-income people so that they have more money in their hands. So we have to remember, we've done that. And of course, we've been able to afford that because we've had enough growth in the Canadian economy. And if you don't have enough growth in the Canadian economy, you're not going to have the money to support those who do need support. The other thing that I think we have to also look at is there's a very big difference at looking at inequality measures on a what's called a pre-tax basis, where you ignore taxes and transfers, and inequality when you subtract off taxes and you add back in transfers that go to individuals. And there's much less inequality when you start looking at what people get after taxes and the transfers that they get. And that's because a lot of the transfers go to low-income people or lower-income people people with modest income. And of course, taxes are mainly paid, especially income taxes, are mainly paid at the top end. In fact, the top 10% of taxpayers in Canada cover 55% of income taxes in Canada. In other words, a very small group of people actually pay over half of the personal income taxes in Canada. So we do a lot of redistribution as it is. And there's been a comparison done between Canada and other G7 countries. We do more redistribution than our other countries. And yet now we are also in a position where our growth rates is now so bad that it's the lowest of all the G7 countries. At least in forecasted and in recently, once you look at per capita growth rates, and in fact we're expected to have the lowest growth, as the OECD estimates, by 2030, and that is a big concern. So I think what's happened now is that we've become too much focused on redistribution, and we need to get back to thinking a little bit more about growth as part of our economic policy.
So Jack, you had the magic wand, you had the government come to you and say, here's the magic wand, two things you would do to bring back growth to Canada, what would they be?
Number one, absolutely regulation. Regulation is just killing this country. And we've seen this over and over again, not just in oil and gas, but also in many sectors. Very hard to get things built in this country. And I think we really need to do a big job looking at regulation. And frankly, all of the things that governments are doing, governments have very low productivity and they're spending a lot of money. There's been a huge growth in the public services, both at federal and provincial levels. And yet I don't think Canadians will say we're getting better services. Our healthcare system is in terrible shape. And of course, we've also seen that's been where we have a dilapidated defense system. There's a number of things that aren't really going particularly well. So we're not being very effective in terms of the use of our money that governments have at this time. And they could be more efficient in terms of what they're doing. So I would certainly look at spending cuts, but not just spending cuts, but also putting more money into high priority items that we need to get things done and that people put a lot of value on. And then I think the third thing, if we're going to do tax changes, I think we need to look at the tax system as a whole and consider a very significant tax reform, in one which maybe I would argue should be a big bang tax reform, something that's major, that would really pull in investment into Canada and people wanting to set up shop here.
There you go, Jack. We're running out of time. Thank you so much. Those are some great ideas that definitely need to be tabled. And we're going to talk about this more at our upcoming seminar. Join us on February 25th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. Okay. Coming up after the break, should we still have this Alberta pension plan, or should we just scrap the whole idea? You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.